Blog Talk Radio.
From the city of glory, also known as the city of Gary, Indiana.
We originating from 2225 Roosevelt Place, the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International Ministries location. And we invite you to write us, call us, let us know how things are going on with you. And we thank you for tuning in, listening, continuing to support us in this ministry as we go forth to give you what God has placed in our hearts for us to come and do some good talking with you every week. I praise God for you. I praise God for the Kingdom Builders International and the Kingdom Daughters for allowing us another opportunity to be on the air. And for all of you from near and far that are listening, we pray that everything is going well tonight, that you can hear me clearly. And as always, we always caution you that there's going to be some things that may be said that may be a little bit different than the way you're normally used to hearing things. Probably going to have to question yourself in a few areas. Definitely we pray that you go on the inside of yourself and try and clean some stuff up or take a look at some things that may need a little bit of tweaking. But we do pray that if you real, real good and don't need any of it, that you just enjoy hearing this old squeaky voice come to you, then we bless you even for that. Amen. Hallelujah. As we get ready to prepare to give you what God has given us, again, we ask that you would get whatever pencil, paper, pen, listening device, recording device that you would have, that you'll be able to take some notes. But sometimes we have quite a bit of information. You don't mean it to be that way. It just kind of turns out that way. Amen. And we're going to also pray that you would say this prayer or this affirmation with us. Open thine mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. That's Psalms 119, verse 18, which is basically say, oh, Lord, please help me understand what I'm getting ready to read, hear, or get involved in. And I promise you, if you believe that, God, through the Holy Spirit, will definitely help you. Amen. And hallelujah, hallelujah. We pray you got good weather. Some other good things are going on with you, and that you are ready and prepared. Last week we had a great time. We felt God really used us in a mighty way. We did get quite a bit of feedback from some of you, and we appreciate those things that you have said. We also remind you that if you want to be able to talk at the end of the broadcast, you may want to go ahead and key in your the number one so that when they open up the lines, you'll be able to be to speak or say anything. And so we just bring that to your attention. Those of you that's on the those of you that are on the internet, I understand you guys be texting and chatting and things of that nature, and keep that up. And we're just going to continue doing what God tells us to do until he tells us to stop. Amen. We had a wonderful prayer on last weekend. As I was saying, season where the enemy is really attacking the family. He recognizes that we're right on the edge of our, you know, people talk about breakthrough all the time, but we actually done broke through. We done broke through this new year. We done broke through those barriers of things that have caused us a calamity. And so the enemy is trying to put new stuff on us, but it ain't his season. And so we got to quit giving him lean to do whatever it is that he wants to do. On the last few times we've gotten together, we've talked about the weapons of loosing and binding. We talked about the weapons of looking in the clouds and declaring and decreeing on him. We've talked about those things that he tries to hide from us, and we've tried to bring it to your attention so that you can be aware of his divisiveness and those tools that he uses against us. We've even prayed some pretty strong warfare prayers. But the dude just won't quit. So since he ain't going to quit, we ain't going to quit. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Last week we talked about we went to Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 18, where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives, deliverance, because we've been talking about deliverance the last 2 or 3 weeks, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We also talked about how God himself commissioned us and told us two things that he wanted, well, actually 4 or 5 things that he wanted us to do, but he wanted us to heal the sick. He wanted us to raise the dead. He wanted us to set captives free. And you can't do that unless you know him in a mighty and powerful way. He told us to cast out devils. That's the number one thing he told us to do. And I'm here to tell you that if somebody been telling you that you can't do that, you need to refer them to the Word of God, because that's not what God said. He told us to do it, and whatever he says for us to do, we really ought to be trying to find a way to get it done. Amen? Amen. We also talked about Psalms 144, verse 1 and verse 2. We'll go there real quick. This is a real quick reminder, because, you know, when we go over these things, we really want you to, and, you know, for those of you that may not have taken any notes, you can come back to the this website, and you can click on to Apostle Carlton Clark or the Warfare Hour from last week's date, and you can listen to everything in its entirety. You can listen to any other broadcast that we've had in previous times, and that's what I really love about this ministry. They record you and give everybody the opportunity to go back and listen to you over and over and over again if they choose to. And that's what you call putting the tools in the folks' hands. And it just don't get no better than that. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful and magnificent name. We're going to Psalms 144, verse 1 and verse 2. Say, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he is whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. God has given us weapons, and he said that sometimes we're going to have to fight. Teach my hands to war and my fingers to do battle. I mean, you know, I am to point, I am to declare, I am to decree, I am to, you know, I am to point up, you know, I am to draw down, I am to pull down strongholds. I am to do all those things that God has told us to do. And when we don't do those things, the people perish. The people have a hard time because we're not in place to do what it is that God has positioned us to do. We've talked about on many occasions that we made a pact with God before we even came in our mother's womb. He said he knew us before we was even in our mother's womb. I mean, you know, we had some kind of conversation with him. And, you know, sometimes you may say, Apostle Clark, why are you always talking about the same stuff? And again, I want to share with you that in order to change a habit, you have to replace it with a new habit. And you got to be talking about that or doing that new habit at least 21 times before it becomes automatic or natural for you to do it. And so you're going to hear me say over and over some various scriptures until it's embedded in you, and it becomes maybe, hopefully, one of your favorite scriptures that you can beat the head of the devil with. Beat him over the head, stomp him, tell others about it, and all of the above. Amen. Turn with me to, again, just to finish up from last week, Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 38 through verse 40. Mark 9, 38 through 40. Here we see that Jesus has sent out the disciples, and he has sent out the 70 also. He sent them out two by two. He charged them, gave them authority and the anointing to go out to heal the sick and to cast out devils, to do signs, wonders, and miracles. And he sent them out, which was the precursor to what he told us to do. And first he sent them out. And then when he came back, he asked them, okay, what happened? Well, here in these verses, it says that John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followeth not us. Now, verse 39 says, but Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Verse 40 said, for he that is not against us is on our part. Verse 41 said, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And this, before we go into this week, I want to remind you of what God said concerning those folks. He did not want us, first of all, to forbid them from doing what he told us to do. And he also said, forbid them not, because they can't say nothing bad against me if they're doing it in my name. They're not going to be able to come back later and do anything that's contrary to what they already have done. I think God knows a little bit more about himself, a little bit more about the things that he told us to do, and a little bit more about how he charged us to go forth and do his will. With that in mind, we're to obey. We obey by surrendering. One of the things that this ministry uses kind of as a motto is that failure is not an option. We believe that because we believe in what Philippians 4:13 says, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And how is it that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me? I go over to Proverbs 3rd chapter, where it says that I will not, actually what I will do is I will trust in the Lord with all my heart, that I lean not to my own understanding, and that in all my ways I will acknowledge him so that he can direct my paths. And that's how we put ourselves in a position of surrender. We have to understand that the more we surrender to God, the more we're able to draw on his power. We've talked about many times the various keys to the kingdom, loosing whatever we bind on earth, we can bind in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, we can loose in heaven. And we've been talking about those things that that we can identify that makes it easier for us to be able to go forth. Now, this week, I want to talk about a couple of things. We want to talk about Second Timothy, the second chapter, verse 15, which basically tells us to study, show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Also want to talk about Philippians 4 and 8, which talks about whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just. You know the scripture. We'll be going over that. And also Psalms 1. I pray that we be able to get to all of that, because what I want to do is break that down. Because sometimes we just read these scriptures. We don't really break it down. And I've shared with you in previous teachings that punctuations, capitalizations, and references, who, what, when, where, and how, is very important when you study any and all of these scriptures. You really need to be knowing who was doing the talking, what was going on at the time, and what content it was supposed to be in. And we've had great mentors. And today I want to kind of give just a little shout-out or accolade to those men and women that have made me the person that I am, because really, if you've enjoyed anything that you've heard over the past 12 to 15 weeks, then it's because of the input that I've received from some of the folks that I'm going to mention. It's just, it seems like it's a lengthy list, but actually it's not. Because you run into people that really have done some stuff in your life. And what happens is we'll remember the bad things that a person has done. Those things a person wouldn't let us grow, or so we thought. They cautioned us or told us something that we didn't like, and so we left or ran away or whatever it was that we did. Sometimes we just outgrew them. Sometimes we just moved on, got elevated, whatever. But we are always to remember those that were before us, those that put themselves in a place of lead, guiding, and directing us into the truth. And when they ran out, everybody didn't run out of the truth. Sometimes we ran away from the truth that was coming from a person. But I do would like to give some accolades. You know, growing up, there's a man here in the city of Gary. He's a ROTC instructor, Sergeant First Class, Lewis T. Stewart III. And I really appreciate that man poured into my life. He was a school teacher. He was an ROTC instructor, but he helped me develop from an introvert, believe it or not, to the extrovert that I am now. And he started me on a path that was going to lead me into the United States Air Force for 20 years, an illustrious career in disaster preparedness and administration, and also in military honors while I was in the service, space shuttle recovery, everything, just so many wonderful things that I was allowed to do because I began to believe in myself because of the man that put a little bit of hope into me. And he just was being a good friend, but he was a mentor. He had a fatherly attitude. And because I'm saying that now, I want to caution you, if you're in a ministry where your pastors aren't going through the system of fathering you, because they ought to be fathering you, that which is what God left here on the earth. They ought to be nurturing you, preparing you for higher purpose in Christ. And so, run. Do not pass go. You're not being fathered because you're going to allow yourself to be placed in a situation where hurt is just automatically inevitable. I caution even those that's in a position of leadership that aren't fathering, to find the scriptures that show you that's your mandate to be a father, because he has blessed the family. We ought to be under the family of God. Jesus always said, my Father, I came to do the bidding of my Father, which is in heaven. We have to follow him as our Father. And as we follow him, he will lead, guide, and direct us into all truth. Another pastor, when I was young, is F.W. Coleman of the Pilgrim Baptist Church, an elderly pastor, really went into my life. A couple of folks here in the city of Gary, the late, great Dr. Benjamin Holmes, Dr. Marion J. Johnson, Jr., also here in the city of Gary, and Apostle James Randolph here in the city of Gary. Wonderful man of God. He and his wife, Prophetess Randolph, man, they poured so much into my life, and their spiritual father, Apostle Clifford Turner. I've had wonderful folks lay hands on me, prophesy over me. Apostle Bishop Tudor Bismarck and others. But the one that kind of helped me along the way is Apostle Alicia Perry from Washington, D.C. Through my sister and brother, my biological sister, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She's a prophetess, her and her husband, Timothy and Rachel Tangle. And then my own apostle here, Apostle Leonard Emmons. And I just thank God for these men and women that have poured into my life, because sometimes you can just go to them and they would just tell you the truth. And, yeah, I did some running, and some of you did some running, too. And I said, well, you know, I may not know any of those people you're talking about, Apostle, but you got some folks in your life that you need to get some, you need to acknowledge that they poured some stuff into you, that they poured some years into you to make you the person that you are. Even if they forced you or ran you away, they ran you towards some more truth. So acknowledge them, because God acknowledged them and placed them in a position of leadership. And he has always told us to beware of false prophets, false evangelists, false Christ. Because this is the time for Antichrist. Antichrists are everywhere. Everywhere that we look. Did you hear on the news today that one of the prominent black movie stars, one that's well-respected all over the place. Now, we don't know how true it is, but the rumor that's out there, Mr. Morgan Freeman, is talking about marrying his step-granddaughter. Now, if that happens to be true, shame on him. And shame on anybody that does anything like that. But as I said earlier, those of you that are not in the ministry that they're talking about the fathering system or mentoring you, you ought to be careful of that, because the same kind of thing can happen. Spiritual incest is when you are up under somebody and they are coming at you in a lustful way, and they're supposed to be your spiritual father or mother. God does not like it, and he got a special place and special judgment for those that scatter the flock in that manner, because that's a hurt that's very, very tough to overcome. A few weeks ago, we went over the spiritual warfare checklist, and when I got to the area on sexual behavior, I kind of like skimmed over it, and because there were so many other things that were prevalent. But in the future, probably next week or week after next week, I'm going to go back to that spiritual profile so that we can cover that area, because there's some hurts that are out there. Some of us are hurting because of wrongs that's been done to us, and we got to be able to overcome those wrongs and overcome those hurts in order for us to get past and to go on. This week, as we talk about study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and verse 15. When I got to looking at this, you know, I did a study on this some time ago, and I was fascinated with the words that's included in this short scripture, because it's got so many things in it that it's really unbelievable. Study, or definition of study, basically, there's so many different definitions about what study is. And here's just a few of them. Study is to aggressively pursue and to seek after the information pertaining to mental, physiological, psychological, and spiritual aspect of a given subject. Study as a noun is the application of the mind to the acquisition of knowledge, as by reading, investigating, or reflection. Another definition of study is the pursuit of knowledge, or the pursuit of observation, of research, and of attentive scrutiny. Another definition is a state of contemplation, rivalry, a setting of the mind or thoughts upon a subject. Study puts us in a mind to prepare, you know, prepare to do something, prepare to meditate or to meditate on or to review any information that is dealing with a specific subject, or to seek after. So the word study and study to show yourself approved unto God covers all of those areas that we just talked about. You want to, like, diligently put yourself in a position to meditate, to strive for, to prepare, to review information, to receive and get more knowledge. Now, all of that is just that's just in one word, the word study. Okay, the word show, I looked at that. A show puts us in a position of presenting or availing or making availing ourselves. To display publicly is another definition of show. Actually, show also means to prove. Show means to establish or to demonstrate. So we are to study to demonstrate ourselves, to establish ourselves, to prove ourselves, to display publicly ourselves. And then it says to show ourselves approved unto God. Okay, being approved unto God in this scripture here puts us in a position of being authorized by God or received of God. We're actually called by God when we are approved by God. We are sent by God when we are approved by God. We are used by God when we are approved by God. And guess what? We are judged favorably, which is another word for approved. We ought to be spoken of or thought of favorably. That's what approved means. Approved also means that we're confirmed. The word approved means that we're sanctioned. So we're studying, preparing to, meditating on, reviewing information, seeking after, putting ourselves in a position to show or present ourselves, avail, or to display publicly, to prove or establish or to demonstrate ourselves as approved, which is authorized or sent or used or judged favorably or to be spoken of or thought of favorably, even to be confirmed or sanctioned unto God. And how are we going to do that? We are to be a workman. A workman is a servant, a son, a daughter, a follower, a disciple, a craftsman, a skilled laborer, a skilled worker. In other words, we're good at what we do. God is telling us all of this in this one little scripture. He's telling us to give our best effort by researching everything so that when we go out there, nothing can get in our way. To show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. That means to be unafraid, to be fearless, to be bold, to be direct, to be painstakingly, brutally honest. Hallelujah. I hope this is helping you. And rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly, in this case, is righteously or justly or lovingly, fairly, in the proper manner, dividing. Dividing is to separate, to put asunder, to clean out, to investigate, to divide, to put in perspective. The word of truth. The word of truth is the gospel of Christ. That's the actual state, the actual or factual statements or the word, which is the light, which is the life. Actual statement of the matter, which is by verifiable facts. Hallelujah. I hope that you was able to get all of that. All of that was in that one scripture. All of that was in that one scripture. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I pray that when you begin to look at various scriptures from this day forward, that you don't look at them the same way. Start breaking these scriptures down. Go to your thesaurus. Go to the different dictionaries. Go on the internet. There's so many different varieties, and find out whether it's a noun or an adjective or an adverb. You know, how many ways is it being used? And then you can adequately use it when you're going forth in your ministries. You want to be factual. You want to be able to give people the word of truth. And I caution you to put yourself in a position to always be humble and receive what it is that God has for you, particularly when someone gives correction. I got some correction today, and I was like, ooh, ah, ooh, 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 ooh. And you know what? You got to say ouch sometimes, because you know what? God uses people to warn us and to tell us when we go on to the left and when we go on to the right. A prophetess that talked to me today kind of shoved me back in the right directions. She happened to be some kin to me. I love her dearly. And she was able to lead God, direct me into some truths. That sometimes, you know, we're too close to a situation or a personality, too close to a circumstance that we don't see it. And he sends just the right person to nudge us back in the right way. So I praise God for you. So study to show yourself approved unto God. You want to pursue that knowledge and observation, research, and attentively scrutinize. Make sure you're in a state of contemplation and reverie, a setting of the mind or a thought upon a particular subject. Showing yourself, availing yourself, displaying publicly, proving, establishing, and demonstrating yourself that you are approved unto God, authorized by God, received of God, called and sent by God, used and judged favorably, and to be spoken of thoughtfully or favorably, and confirmed and sanctioned as a workman or a servant, a son, a daughter, a follower, a disciple, or a craftsman, a skilled worker or a laborer of God, that needed not to be ashamed or unafraid, fearless, and bold, direct in what you're getting ready to do, which is rightly divide the word of truth or righteously in God's way, lovingly, fairly, and especially justly in the proper manner, the word of truth, which is the actual state, the word, the light, the life, or the matter of verifiable facts. That's what study to show yourself approved under God is. I pray that this helped you as we continue in the word. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful and magnificent and glorious name. If you would turn with me to Psalms 1. Psalms number 1. Man, I really, really love this psalm. It always has jumped off the page and just made me feel what they used to say. It gave me a whole bunch of warm fuzzies. Every time I read it, it just really just goes to the heart of the matter with me. And I'm always trying to dissect this thing. And every time I come up with something a little bit new or a little bit different. Psalms 1. They bless us the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I really want to stop there because right in the beginning it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's see what it says over here in the Amplified, because sometimes the Amplified says it just a little bit different. Let's see what we got over here on today. I hope you're having a good time. Hope you had a wonderful day on the day. God is always putting us in a position that we can receive of him. In the Amplified, it says blessed, which is happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Happy? That means blissful, blissfully happy, fortunate. That's something that you don't hear, but that you're a fortunate person. Prosperous, we hear that going around a lot. That word prosperous is thrown around quite a bit. So blessed is a prosperous thing. But enviable, that means, folks, you mean, bless me, folks are going to envy you? Absolutely. You're going to be enviable. And the reason that you're going to be enviable is because you're the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly. Of the ungodly. Let me go over that again. You're going to be blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable because you are a man. And, you know, here it says man is man, woman, boy, or girl. That's a universal word. It's not just the word M-A-N as a masculine. It's the universal. Who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, which means we're not following their advice, their plans, and their purposes. Let me stay there for a minute. Many of us think that we don't seek the approval of men, but there's a self-actualization part of us that always wants to be approved of. It starts with our parents. You know, we want approval. We get in sports. We strive to get good grades so that we can get accolades from our parents. And sometimes what happens is the way we are taught puts us in a position where we strive after the accolades and make that number one in our life. And that therein is what lies the problem. Because now we start listening to any and everybody to find out how can we accomplish a certain thing. And unfortunately, that's where our problems begin. And if we don't get, if it's not nipped in the bud at an early age, it becomes part of our life. Now, even without trying, we're seeking the approval of folks in any and everything that we do. And there's really nothing wrong with seeking approvals. However, we can take anything beyond the limit of what it was designed to be. And God here is cautioning us against doing it in the first psalm that was written. Okay, the second part of this scripture says, Noah stands in the path, nor standing in the way of sinners. But in the Amplified it says, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk. Submissive and inactive. We talked about a few weeks ago the Ahab and Jezebel spirits. And this is akin to Ahab and Jezebel spirit when you are submissive and inactive. Because when you're submissive, you're giving away your authority. You're giving away your right. You're giving away your will to someone else. And usually the person that you're giving it to is one that probably is operating in a Jezebel or takeover spirit. They prey on you. They take the information. They run with it. And they use it as a cloud over your head. And so therefore, you end up giving in to the sinner when you should be the one to tell the sinner what to do. You're standing in the way of the sinner, or in the way means in the same path. In this case, in the same path. You're walking in the same path as the sinner. And you're doing nothing about it. Then it says, or standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Here in the Amplified it says, in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest, where the scornful and the mockers gather. When I was young, and probably some of you remember that kid that everybody kind of picked on. You know, maybe he had a snotty nose, or the clothes was raggedy, or they didn't have no bike, or they had a whole bunch of brothers and sisters, or they was always begging, or they was always hungry. You remember them. You remember me. I mean, you remember. Yeah. See, you know, the one that everybody talked about, the fat one, you know, the one that was darker than the other one, one that was too light or too skinny or too tall or too short. You know that one, the one that everybody talked about. And you joined in with them. Oh, I know you didn't join in with them, but you didn't ever come to their rescue. You didn't ever help them out. Oh, I know, I'm not talking about none of y'all. Because we always been champions of those that have been scorned and hurtful. We never hurt nobody purposely, not us. Because, see, we don't see those things that we do. I had a young man walk up to me and say, Doctor, you still picking on people? And all I ever remember was folks picking on me. Like, when did I get to the point where I was picking on somebody else. And I completely forgot about the dirt that I done did. And see, that's what happens to all of us. And that's what this scripture is warning us about. See, what we do is we sit down, we relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. You know, they're not only at school, they're in the church. See, mama and them took us to church. You know, how many of y'all, drug addicts? You know, you was drugged to church. You didn't have no choice. You was drugged to church every week, 2-3 times a week. Guess what? You saw some of the dirtiest, low-down of the stuff at the church because folks is going through a process of getting clean. See, people of God, let's not be so scornful of those that's trying to get it right. See, by loving kindness has God drawn us, and we got to do the same thing. That don't mean we can't be harsh against the enemy. That don't mean we not to bash his head in. But guess what? Most of the people that's doing us wrong, it ain't them, it's the demons that's going to attach yourself to them for a season. Oh, I forgot. Christians don't have no demons, right? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about somebody else. But see, that's we've been told some erroneous things. We've been told some things that leave us vulnerable to protect ourselves. And the last part of that says, but his delight and desire in the law of the Lord and on his law, which is the precepts or the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. And that's really, that goes to go along with the study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly or righteously dividing the word of truth. Say, he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whenever we study to show ourselves approved unto God, we're going to see some, you know, I just gave you some definitions that is verified right here in this psalm. Say, therefore the ungodly should not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We're not even supposed to be standing in the same congregation. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Sooner or later, those that's doing ungodly things, ungodly acts, deeds, and thoughts is going to fall by the wayside. So we need to start weeding ourselves of those discrepancies now. Hallelujah. Let's go over to our last scripture for today, and then I'm going to do two prayers, and then we're going to open up the lines. Amen. If you would turn with me to We are over in Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 8. This is another scripture that I really, really love. And, man, I'm telling you, God knew what he was doing when he, you know, God, when he put this word together, through all of these men and women of God over time. See, but time is only relevant to us. But he put all of these 66 books together for us. And we just don't even know how to act. But it says here, and I'm going to read out of the King James, it says, finally, brethren. Well, let's go to verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think my first sermon, which was the day before or the day after my mother had passed, we were preparing, naturally, the funeral arrangements. And my sister was praying really, really hard. And this scripture I recall, came to her, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And the peace of God which passes all understanding should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My mother was one that I put everything in writing. She made it so easy for us that she said who she wanted to be at the funeral, what dress she wanted to wear, what wig she wanted to wear, where her teeth was, who she wanted to say this, who she wanted to say that. I mean, she just laid everything out, and it really was smooth as silk. But my sister, the grace of God, my sister had the duties of the executor. She the one that had to do all that. I just was giving her all that I could to help. But Mama made it kind of easy. But this scripture here that follows it, verse 8, is just full of wonderful, magnificent things that we are to surround ourselves with, that we are to think on. And that's the stuff that's going to save us. It's the stuff that's going to save us. And if we don't put it in check, we're going to find ourselves having a real, real tough time. But this is something that I always tell people to do as part of keeping themselves in the path of God. And here it reads, finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. See, we're so busy thinking on all of the negative stuff that's happened here on this earth. And yeah, we are supposed to be looking at it. We are supposed to be identifying it. We are supposed to be putting it in a position where we can do something about it. But when things is going bad and things is going tough on us, we need to be thinking on these things. These are the things that's going to save us. These are the things that's going to get us out of our funk. These are the things that's going to put us in a position of leadership. These are the things that's going to put us in a position of overcoming. These are the things that's going to put us in a position of being helped to somebody else. It says, whatsoever things are true, which are things that are proven of God, things that are love. In the, even when it talks about it, and the Amplified Bible, it talks about, for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemingly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things, which just means to fix your mind on them. These are the things that we have to fix our minds on. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33, tells us to puts us in a position to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. All our life we searching after and reaching after things. And it's not these things which we ought to be thinking on, but it's material things. You know, the house, the car, the 2.3 kids, you know, that great job, the $55,000 to $150,000 in the bank. You know, all the little stuff that we was taught, naturally, all these numbers and stuff changed over time as everybody got more and more used to things. But all the while, we were supposed to be thinking about other stuff. We were supposed to be thinking about some things that was going to put us in a position of being helpful to other people. Okay, we said whatsoever things are true, those things that are proven of God, those things that are love. Whatsoever things that are honest, which is without fault or blameless. Whatsoever things that are just, those things that are fair, those things that are honorable, those things that are guided by truth, those things that are guided by reason, and those things that are impartial. That's what just is. Then it said, whatsoever things are pure, those are things that are clean. Those are things that are sober. Those are things that are transparent. Those are things that are unmixed with anything. They're free from taint. Whatsoever things that are pure. Whatsoever things that are lovely. Things that are beautiful and delightful. Things that put a smile on your face as soon as you see them. Whatsoever things that are of good report. Those are things that are worthy of mention. Those are things that, words that you can stand on. Things that are of good report. Whatsoever things that are of virtue. Virtue is like a grit, true grit, or an outstanding example. You know, an upright person. Moral excellence or righteousness, or just a feeling of goodness. That's what virtue is. And then praise. You know, we ought to praise our way. When we do find everything, whatsoever thing that's worthy of praise, which is worthy of worship or hallelujah, worthy of thanksgiving, or the things that you ought to be commended for, things that put you in a position that you approve of, that you have a great approval rate or admiration for. Those are the things that we ought to think on. And how can you think on lustfully when you're thinking of true proving of God or honest? How can you think of lust when you're talking about honest or without fault or blame or just fairness, honorable, guided by truth or reasonable or impartial, pure, clean, sober, transparent? How can you put yourself in a position of murder, madness, or mayhem by being lovely or beautiful or delightful and having a good report? How can you slander somebody's name when you look at a good report? All the things that we do, all the things that we put ourselves in position for here on the earth, we can very easily go in the opposite direction by just using these virtues right here. I petition you, men and women of God, to continue to break down the Word of God as you see it. Break it down every day in every way that you can. Study it. Make sure that you understand it and know it. Make sure that you're able to talk to people about it. And we talked about when, you know, in the ministry, this scripture here, which is Acts the 20th chapter, verse 32, it says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And what we've been trying to do here is what Acts 19 and 20, it says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." We ought to mightily grow the word of God. We ought to make sure that it prevails in our life. I told you, and maybe some of you are going through some things in your life. Those of you that are married, and I remember last week I talked about a marriage, a harmonious marriage, but if you are physically married, and marriage is that of a male and a female, That's right. That's what we're doing it the way the scriptures say. So maybe some folks turn off, but I got to tell it like T.I.E. is. But those of you that are contemplating getting married or are not married and not looking to get married, you married to Jesus. You married to the Holy Ghost. And so as I pray this prayer with you, you're still included. Amen. Harmonious marriage. Father, in the name of Jesus, it is written in your word that your love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given to us. Because you are in us, we acknowledge that love reigns supreme. Love reigns supreme. I say love reigns supreme. We believe that love is displayed in full expression, enfolding and knitting us together in truth, making us perfect for every good work to do your will, working in us that which is pleasing in your sight, O God. O God, we live and conduct our marriage honorably and becomingly, O God. We esteem it as precious, worthy, and of great price. We commit ourselves to live in mutual harmony and accord with one another, delighting in each other, being of the same mind, and united in spirit. Father, we believe and say that we are gentle. Father, we believe and say that we are compassionate. Father, we believe and say that we are courteous. Father, we believe and say that we are tender-hearted, and Father, we believe and say that we are humble-minded. Father, we seek peace, and it keeps our hearts in quietness and assurance. Because we follow out the love and dwell in peace, our prayers are not hindered in any way in the name of Jesus. Our marriage of the apostolic, of the prophetic, O God, of the spiritual, Father, grow and the natural grow stronger day by day in the bond of unity because it is founded on your word and rooted and grounded in your love. We decree this day. We have a marriage of the apostolic, of the prophetic, of the natural, and of the spiritual made in heaven, O God. Father, we thank you for the performance of it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, for those of you that heard that prayer and believe that prayer, guess what? We have not done all of those things, but we strive to do all of those things. So pray that prayer, think that prayer, dream that prayer, speak that prayer, because we're supposed to speak things that aren't as though they are. Amen. Hallelujah. And our prayer, warfare prayer for the day is against the satanic network. And I pray that you would pray this with me and that you would hear it and that you would go forth. And at least hear it and put yourself in a position that you can hear me now. Stop whatever it is that you're doing. Every marine witchcraft network against my destiny, scatter and die in the name of Jesus. Blood of Jesus, deliver me from every evil plan of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, arise in your power and make a fool of the devil in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every evil conspiracy against my life, be fooled by fire in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, let your wisdom in me frustrate every evil plan against me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, pull me out of every satanic snare in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. By the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I destroy every satanic network in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost fire, burn to ashes every meeting point of the devil against me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every evil gathering in the waters, scatter in the shame in the name of Jesus. I drop the blood of Jesus against the movement of the devil in the name of Jesus. Any man, woman, or power planning against me, be disgraced in the name of Jesus. Every marine spirit network from any place of birth, fail woefully in the name of Jesus. Every demonic trap assigned to catch me, catch your owner by force in the name of Jesus. Blood of Jesus, flow into my life and deliver me where I need deliverance in the name of Jesus. Every satanic network against me, be disgraced by thunder in the name of Jesus. Every evil padlock that is locking up my breakthroughs, break to pieces in the name of Jesus. Let my enemies fall into the pits they have dug for me in the name of Jesus. Let the evil powers in the earth planning against me be eliminated in the name of Jesus. I command the angels of the living God to spoil the networks of the devils in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, give me your wisdom to disgrace every satanic network in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord. Lord, let your power defend me against every evil network in the name of Jesus. I refuse to be a victim of satanic networks in the name of Jesus. Every satanic network against me, catch fire in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful, to your magnificent name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, we need to just understand that you are in control, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and open up the lines that you can come forth. Ooh, hallelujah, glory to your wonderful name. We're going to make it available for you now. The lines are now open. If you have comments or are looking for prayer, you can take your name and we can pray for you. But we pray even right now that you would just come and let us know that whether we was a blessing to you all today. Okay, the lines are now open. Ooh, hallelujah.
Yes, God. Amen, Apostle Clark. This is Prophetess Teresa, and I caught the end of the broadcast, and I thank God I did, for truly that is the pathway to God's peace. As you talked about, when we meditate on the Word and we meditate and delight in the Lord day and night, when we meditate, it brings the peace that we need. The peace of God is in the Word. And then we keep our minds on things that's honest and true. And, you know, all of that that's in the Word is how we walk in peace. And so I just thank you for bringing that forth tonight and just pouring out into God's people and just taking time out to show God that you love his people by sacrificing your time and even your gift and your talents that he has given you. And we know that those gifts are for the people of God. So I just wanted to thank you and let you know I was blessed with what I heard, and I would truly go back into the on-demand and listen again. And I thank God that I'm able to listen to the whole broadcast at my, you know, convenience. And that's what I want to say to the listeners. You can go back to the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International, and just click on, type in the Warfare Hour, or you can type in Apostle Carlton Clark, and all of his broadcasts will come up, and you'll be able to listen to the broadcast at your convenience. Just cut your computer on, put your speaker on, and you can just lay down and relax and listen to the teaching again and again. So I just want to say thank you. I was blessed tonight, and just keep doing what you're doing and just keep giving God the glory for your life, because we know that it is all him that give us what we need to walk in this peace. And it's important to have that peace that you were talking about, to have our minds stayed on the Word, meditating on the Word day and night. And when you do that, the God said he'll keep you in perfect peace. And as Apostle was talking about, you know, you forget about some of the things that you have done, and somebody might bring it to your memory. Remember you picking on somebody who you bother now. And I remember the time one of the trustees at the church said to me and one of the intercessors, he called us troublemakers. And I didn't actually know what he meant when he said troublemakers, but he later explained it to me. He said because we were going in the heavenlies and we were stirring up things in the natural. And he called us troublemakers. So sometimes you'll get called a troublemaker because you don't fit in, because you're doing what God tells you to do. So I just want to encourage everyone on the line to get this word in your spirit and go out and tell somebody. Tell somebody about the broadcast. Bring somebody on the broadcast with you. And, you know, just pass the word out that Apostle Carlton Clark is here every Thursday pouring out to God's people. And I just want to thank you, Apostle Clark, for that mighty word.
Well, we thank the woman of God. Good to hear your voice, and I bet you're doing well in school and everything, and we just bless you for giving us those encouraging words.
Amen. God bless you.
Well, if there's no others, Prophetess, do you have any announcements?
Praise the Lord.
Go ahead.
Apostle Clark. First of all, I give honor and praise to God, to Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. I just wanted, his name is Gloria Hicks, and I'm going to call him to tell you that I just thank you for inviting me to join in, and that I have truly enjoyed your teaching on tonight. And I will pass the word on to other saints so that they, too, can be brought up to snuff in the word of God and to know the things that are problems that are true. And once again, I just thank the Lord for you, for the relationship, the kinship. And I just give all praise to God that I was this evening able and allowed to join in. And so I do thank you for the wonderful teaching. I just thank God for you and your family and for your ministry. And I'll see you tomorrow at work. God bless now.
All right. Bless you, woman of God. We appreciate that you were able to hear us all tonight, and thank you for your kind words. We try to live what we say. Amen.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Right. God bless you.
You too, now.
Amen. There are others. The lines are open, and this is your opportunity. Speak up.
Amen. Well, if there's no one else, I just want to just make a brief announcement and also say a word of prayer over you, Apostle Clark. If you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sin, if you don't know that he died for you, we offer Jesus to you. We offer him to you. And we just say to you that there's nothing that you have done, nothing that you have said that will keep Jesus away from you. Jesus' hands is open to you, and he wants to invite you in. And if you're ready to accept him, if you don't know him and you're ready to accept him, I offer you to repeat after me. Lord God, forgive me, for I have sinned. Lord God, I believe that you died and you rose again for my sins and for my soul, that you saved the world. And I ask you to welcome me into your kingdom. I accept you as the Lord of my life. I receive you in my heart tonight. And I want to live for you, Lord God. And I join my hand with you. If you repeated those words after me, it's that simple. You're saved. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. It's not hard. And if you want to contact us, you can go to our website. And you can go to contact, and you'll be able to ask for. We now have MP3 audio Bible that will be sent to you. If you don't have a Bible, it's for those that have accepted Christ and don't have a Bible. And if you have a CD player and you want to listen to the Bible, we now can offer the audio MP3. It's a dual set. and we'll mail it out to you at no charge, or you can also get a Bible. We want you to know Jesus. All of this is about learning how to walk in the kingdom of God. And you can also contact Apostle Clark. You can go to the website and just click on where you see his email, and it'll go right to his box, and you can type and you can talk to him as well. But our main thing is to allow you to give you Jesus. Those are our announcements for tonight. We want to thank you for tuning in. We want to encourage you to know that there is nothing too hard for God. There's no place that he won't take you that he want you to go. And we encourage you tonight to go to our website and so that we can make contact with you. God bless you and have a wonderful evening. Well, Father, we thank you for Apostle Clark, and we thank you for the man of God that you have created from his mother's womb. And, Lord, we ask you right now to keep him covered with the blood of Jesus. Father God, everything, Lord God, that his heart desires, we ask you, Lord God, that it will line up with your will and that you would give it to him, Father. You said that if we delight ourselves in you, Father, you said that you would give us the desires of our hearts. So we ask you right now, Lord God, to give him favor in every single area. Bless his home, Lord God. Bless his ministry, Lord God. Bless his family, Father, his wife, Lord God, and everything, Lord God, that concerns him. We thank you, Lord God, because you are the super ruler of our life. And you are our keeper. And we honor and we adore you. And we love you, Lord God. And we thank you for this hour of power. We thank you for opening up the doors so that this could be possible for your people. Well, we give you honor and glory for Apostle Clark and the Warfare Hour. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And Lord Jesus, we say, amen, amen. Well, Apostle Clark, I yield the lines back over to you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful, magnificent name. I have one other announcement. The Living Way Christian Center is presenting a three-day workshop, a prophetic workshop, and it's going on tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday all day at 235 West 40th Avenue here in the city of Gary. Living Way Christian Center, prophetic workshop. It's a wonderful workshop, and it really talks about the prophetic and puts you in the frame of mind of some things that you've probably done and just didn't know what it was and what it was called, and it shows you and you're activated. It's just a wonderful, wonderful conference. We invite you to come tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time if you're here in the city of glory, better known as Gary, Indiana. Hallelujah. Okay, we thank you for being with us again once more here. The Warfare Hour coming to you from the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International Incorporated in the city of glory, Gary, Indiana. Well, we believe that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. We believe that failure is not an option, and we do trust in the Lord with all our heart. We do lean not to our own understanding in all our ways to acknowledge God so that he can live, direct our paths. We look forward to seeing you or being with you again on next week. God bless you. God keep you. Have a wonderful, prosperous, glorious week until we meet again. Enjoy the music as we leave you for this evening. God bless you, and we love you.